Taking Back America with a progressive voice in the afternoon. This is the Mario Solis Merritt Show on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart. Mario Solis Merritt is off today. I'm filling in for him. Welcome. Thank you all for joining me. It's afternoon drive in Colorado. It's getting up into the high 80s, headed for the 90s. Hello to my friends in Aspen and hello to everyone around the state. I don't know if Aspen can hear me, but hello anyway. It's 303-713-7600. You can also write me instantly, and I get them, at Aaron@AaronHartShow.com. The number to call to observe, comment, cajole, plead, whatever you need to say, 303-713-7600. Now, the thing is, James Dobson of Focus on the Family has long been the subject of ire on my part. He still is. He still is. You know, down in Colorado Springs, where sometimes they have a tough time hearing AM 760, I'll say to you, Dobson, get off your pulpit. Stop this. Stop it right now. He actually had the temerity to use his Citizen Link radio show, Tom Minery, also, I think that's the way you pronounce his name, to criticize Barack Obama's understanding of the Christian faith. They also said he deliberately distorts the Bible. I'm quoting now, dragging biblical understanding through the gutter, willfully trying to confuse people and having a, quote, fruitcake interpretation of the Constitution. Ugh. He is so annoying, once again insinuating himself into a presidential campaign. Now, mind you, the guy does not back John McCain. He, as far as I know, he still hasn't come out and said that he would approve of him, ever. Obama's two-year-old speech, widely publicized at the time, as certainly James Wallace has said, Jim Wallace, the prominent evangelical leader from the other side of the fence, has said he doesn't understand or he's deliberately distorting it. So I thought, since, you know, Dr. Dobson is from our neck of the woods, we ought to get another perspective, since he also attacked Barack Obama for his interpretation of the Hebrew Bible portion, some books from the Hebrew Bible portion of there's a Hebrew Bible and then there's a Christian Bible, too. So I want to talk to my rabbi, Daniel Wiener, because he'll be able to give us some perspective on this. And I know he was not happy with certain aspects of this story either. And I thought we could talk about that as well. Good afternoon and welcome, Rabbi Wiener. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Good afternoon.
Excellent. Good to have you back aboard. Now, what is the point? Why is he doing this? Well, of course, Dr. Dobson wants to insinuate himself everywhere, but he's not backing John McCain. So what is he doing?
You know, I think it's just there are a lot of things that he could be doing, not the least of which is trying to create for himself some role in a potential, you know, presidential campaign where he's really lost all sorts of traction. Not only has he early, but the evangelicals are increasingly becoming disenfranchised from the Republican Party, and I think he's trying to just provide any opportunity he can for his insight and wisdom, as it were, to be promulgated on the airwaves.
Well, I think he better worry a little bit, because I heard Ed Schultz's show a couple of days ago, I believe, well, maybe it was yesterday, and a number of young evangelicals are thinking of supporting Barack Obama, hence perhaps one of the reasons he attacked it. Now, explain to us why this attack was so wrong of him, and how he sort of stood biblical interpretation on its head.
Well, you've heard of the Yiddish expression chutzpah, and I'm sure,
yes,
James Dobson's heard of it too, with all of his connections with right wing rabbis. But
he might.
Incredible degree of chutzpah. And this is a guy who I've also seen quoted, James Dobson, saying, "I'm not a reverend, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a theologian." Yet he has no problem condemning other people, lay people, for speaking about the Bible, when he himself has admitted that he is not a scholar or a theologian, and that he has as naked a political agenda as anybody does. And so it's incredibly infuriating for Dobson to assert himself as a religious leader rather than just kind of a cultural gadfly, which is what he is, and to condemn someone else for misinterpreting the text, which ironically Obama is interpreting in a much truer sense than Dobson is in a much more selective sense.
Well, now explain to us, Barack Obama in this speech was speaking to various things. He said, and I'll quote him, "Even if we did have only Christians in our midst, if we expelled every non-Christian from the United States of America, whose Christianity would we teach in schools? Would we go with James Dobson's or Al Sharpton's?" He was referring to the civil rights leader.
Sure.
But apparently Dobson also took aim at examples Obama cited, including passages in Leviticus and others. So how did why did he accuse Obama, or how did he think Obama take it out of context, and why is Dobson wrong?
Well, just on so many levels, Dobson is wrong, not the least of which is that he, from an evangelical point of view, and a not well-educated evangelical point of view to boot, is interpreting the Hebrew scriptures, what Christians call the Old Testament, in a way that serves not only his narrow political agenda, but also a narrow theological agenda to support and to amplify his specific take, reactionary evangelical take on Christianity. And so he's not only doing a disservice by perverting the Bible for political ends, but he's also not doing service to the authentic intention of the Hebrew Bible by using it as nothing more than a foundation for a skewed New Testament interpretation.
Right. One of the things he apparently said was that that Obama had the temerity to equate Old Testament, so-called Old Testament or Hebrew Bible text and dietary codes that no longer apply to Jesus' teachings in the New Testament. So he was trying to set up a fight here, and that seems repugnant to me.
Well, that's what we who are of the liberal scholarly approach to these things always do, to cherry pick Leviticus a verse from Leviticus 18 as the be all and end all of what the five books of Moses say, and to ignore everything else, including the Sabbath laws and the dietary laws, which are also considered to be, you know, grave prohibitions, and to leave out the thousands of verses that talk about protecting the most vulnerable in our society, to just laud and to hold up one, you know, verse in Leviticus as, you know, that's God's teaching and everything else we're excused from, is disingenuous and an inauthentic religiously, morally, politically, ethically, culturally, whatever other adverb I could give you.
And academically ignores the fact that the five books of Moses were the foundation for what Jesus knew and was teaching from.
And listen, even in the New Testament, you know, count how many times it talks about the issues of homosexuality. I think glancingly once.
Yeah.
And how many thousands of verses are devoted to Jesus discussing how important it is to not only support the poor and the needy and the vulnerable, but actually to put aside one's value system and to almost embrace that kind of poverty. Even Judaism doesn't talk about embracing poverty as an ideal the way that Jesus's example does.
Yeah.
And so for Dobson to hone in on the one thing that that obviously is an expression of his personal hang-ups, and to ignore everything else. And this is where I think the schism with evangelicals, another reason Dobson is doing this, is because he and his generation of evangelicals are becoming increasingly irrelevant. Rick Warren and the new generation that are focused on AIDS and hunger and Africa and global poverty and the environment are ascending. And the cultural conservatives of God, gays, and guns are on the decline. And Dobson, it's a desperate last gasp attempt for that generation to try to reclaim some relevance in this campaign.
Do you think it's going to work?
No.
I don't.
I think it's going to it's already backfiring.
I think it is backfiring. The other thing that they missed the boat on was certainly in the environmental movement almost entirely, which
Absolutely.
Rick Warren has picked up on very astutely, I think. In terms of the controversies, though, that have surrounded Obama, I think what he's also trying to do, perhaps, is insinuate him into a controversy where he's trying to sort of reissue the religious themes in order to so that people can bring up, his errant reverend of the black church that he belonged to in Chicago and bring him up again and again and again. Isn't he trying to sort of bring it back to, Obama is really this, radical person who doesn't understand things?
Absolutely. And that speaks to Obama's success in many ways, reclaiming the mantle of spiritual talk, of God talk amongst Democrats. It's something that Democrats had been painfully lacking in the last two election cycles. Obama,
exactly,
from the beginning, has been speaking to this in a way that's actually very compelling to independents and to some more moderate Republicans. And I think that's also scaring the, excuse the expression, bejesus out of James Dobson.
Yes, I would assume it is. And if he can hear us, he's probably yelling right now. Although Colorado Springs has a little bit of a problem receiving AM760 sometimes, unfortunately. I don't know. That could be a divine intervention. Who knows? Now, in terms of other issues affecting the Jewish community and Barack Obama, do you sense, I know that there was worry in the Jewish community about the Reverend Jim Wright, about whether Barack Obama was fully supportive of the Jewish community. But as far as I can tell, he is fully, and certainly has allayed the fears of many. But do the conservative Jews still oppose him to a certain extent, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, certain elements within the Jewish community, I think it's about 15 or 20%, are going to vote for a conservative candidate that they think it will be strong and hawkish on Israel. The other 80% of Jews generally vote Democrat, but with the proviso that any candidate's going to be supportive of Israel. But, you know, basically, the policies of Obama and McCain are indistinguishable when it comes to Israel. Any modern candidate must be avowedly supportive of Israel, or it's political suicide, at least in this current climate. The real issue is that with no real distinctions to make, there's been an insidious, pretty horrific email campaign, rumor-mongering going around that Obama is really Muslim, he's a closet Muslim, he, you know, really won't support the Jews, won't support Israel. It's completely unfounded, and it is kind of the worst byproduct of the internet age. And I and a number of rabbis are trying our best to go on record and to assuage the fears mainly of older Jews, who tend to kind of resonate with some of that disconnect because they come from a different era. And I think it's already enough of an outside the box experience for them to vote for a black candidate, let alone one whose name is Barack Obama. And so the rumors haven't been helping, but I think we're starting to make traction.
Well, good. The other issue that I wanted to get your opinion on for our listeners today, Rabbi Wiener, would be this one, which is, and a senior rabbi of Temple to Hersh Sinai, it should be mentioned that I know personally from having worked with you on Faith Forward, which was a progressive group now defunct and now changed. But anyway, to try to get people more involved in interfaith dialogue in terms of bringing some religious influence to progressive messages. And the first Muslim member of Congress actually has taken exception to Barack Obama recently and criticized him for not appearing at mosques. Now, maybe part of the reason Barack Obama has not done that is what we talked about just a minute ago, which is the scurrilous internet campaign claiming that he's a Muslim. But if you were advising him, what would you tell him?
It's really hard to say. I think, and I'm hoping that he kind of comes out of his bubble of advisors who are telling him, you know, don't be seen in a shot with a Muslim.
Headscarves in back of you.
You know what? They're gonna find, you know, the 527s that engage in this kind of gutter politics are gonna find a way to do that anyway. I think better to stand on your principle and to say, you know, I'm really embracing a large tent of everybody, and you know, the heck with anybody who is going to pervert that. I can't control that. They're going to do it no matter what I do. So better to stand on my principles and to equally extend myself to everyone than I think to give in to the poisonous climate that these folks are trying to create.
Thank you so much for your commentary and your wisdom, Rabbi Wiener. I appreciate it as always.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. It's 5:19 in the afternoon on Mario Solis Marich's show. We'll be back with your comments. What do you think? Is Barack Obama, should he appear with Muslims? Is it a big problem now that Reverend Dobson is attacking him? If you're an evangelical, are you going to support Barack Obama in this election? Will that be what you do? Let us know. 303-713-7600. And write to me, too, at aaron@aaronhartshow.com. Also, Barack Obama may have disappointed you recently in terms of his support for the FISA bill, which I think still stinks because it gives immunity to the telecoms. So let's talk about that. When a candidate disappoints, maybe you're a Muslim who wears a headscarf. Maybe you'd like to go to a Barack Obama rally, but you're afraid now that you can't stand behind him. Maybe you are worried about Barack Obama and whether he'll support you if you're an evangelical. I'd love to hear from you. Let's think outside the box and think together. It's 303-713-7600. This is Aaron Hart filling in for Mario Solis Maric on the AM 760 Progressive Talk, the blowtorch. Well, not a blowtorch. We're basically not as strong as one of those other stations, but we make up for it in how wonderful we are. It's time for Scott Boylan on AM 760 Progressive Talk's traffic. We'll be right back with your thoughts. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart. Hi, this is Aaron Hart. You know, Dr. Dobson is not a reverend, not necessarily a religious leader, but that doesn't stop him from criticizing Barack Obama, who actually is a Democrat who has the temerity to bring, wow, religious principles that are the foundation of Western civilization into play. Huh, what do you think? He also, you know, I mean, the three Abrahamic faiths, Christianity, Judaism, Muslim, are all a part of his knowledge growing up. Good, I say yay. Finally, a president who's smart and well-informed. Goody. Adam in Denver, thank you for joining us on AM 760 Progressive Talk on Mario's show. Welcome.
Thank you, Aaron, and you're an excellent replacement for Mario. And
thank you.
You're doing a bang-up job.
Thank you, sir.
What I wanted to say is, you know, I think Obama, you know, he's not afraid of Dobson. And Dobson has got a lot of nerve and a lot of gut. I think Mr. Weiner.
Chutzpah. Rabbi Wendell.
It's with a C, though. You never, yeah. It looks like chutzpah. But anyway, you know, he's got a lot of chutzpah picking a fight with Obama because, like you said, I mean, there's a number of evangelical groups, particularly younger people, who have signed on to Obama's campaign.
Yes, this is very true. And you know, there are a lot of, listen, I was listening to Ed Schultz's show the other day, and young evangelicals were calling up from Mississippi,
right,
you know, calling up and saying, you know, I'm going to vote for him. I think he's great. And I'm like, whoa, it's a new day in America. Hallelujah. I have thought so anyway, because when I went to, I actually was a Barack Obama delegate, and I also quickly realized that that kind of politics wasn't for me, but I actually had delusions that I might be able to come to Colorado that way, but it wasn't in the cards. Listen, there are so many kids working their heart outs for him. It's just amazing, and you go to those things, and they're so tolerant and so caring and so amazing that you just go, our country is going to be fine.
Well,
our country is going to be so much better.
Here's something else to think about, Aaron. What, you know, who is Dr. Dobson to be saying that somebody else has a fruitcake? What was that about, a fruitcake interpretation of something? This is a guy who has said things like, you know, men, fathers need to get in the shower naked with their boys so that they can teach them how to not be gay. I mean,
ew.
All these kooky things that just come out of left field.
That is your choice, but...
Nobody listens to him anymore.
You know, I think that may be part of it. I think Rabbi Wiener was absolutely right, which is one reason why he's my rabbi, why I like going to the temple where he goes, because he's just so smart. And he's absolutely right. It's like it is so true that here we are, you know, engaged in a battle today, and this man is trying to insinuate himself again, going, hi, look at me, look at me. It's sort of like Ralph Nader. Look at me, I'm irrelevant, but look at me, look at me. I can't be heard. Hi, look at me, I want to be noticed. And it's like, you know what, even your own movement is passing you by.
Well, you know what, bring it on. That's the last thing I'm going to say, Aaron.
Thank you.
Bring it on. We'll fight that fight up against Dobson any day of the week.
Amen.
And go Obama.
Thank you so much. It's 5:27 in the afternoon on Mario's show. Let's talk to Brian now on a cell phone on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hey, Brian.
I just wanted to say, first of all, that the rabbi was brilliant. Just so good to hear.
He is brilliant, isn't he?
Oh, he's just so, such a solid head on his shoulder. It was great to hear him talk.
Cool.
I want to make the point that the two groups that seem to be kind of with the email campaigns attacking Barack Obama are kind of mutually exclusive, and they hurt each other's cause. Because on one hand, you've got the, you know, the he's a Muslim, and then you've got the people who are attacking him because of his attachment to Reverend Wright.
Right.
And so you can't, it's kind of like saying George Bush is evil genius and moron. You know, he's either the evil mastermind or the blubbering idiot puppet. He's one or the other. He can't be
right.
Both.
Yeah, no. No, but, you know, that doesn't stop them, and it doesn't stop people from continuing to send around the emails no matter how many times. You know, I can understand why his advisors may be sensitive to him going to a mosque, but, you know, if I were Barack Obama, I'd say, you know what, people are going to be foolish the way they're foolish, and I'm going to go speak at those too, and stop it. You know, just stop it.
Oh,
and if a woman with his headscarf, you know, are you going to think he's a terrorist Muslim if a woman in a headscarf sits behind him?
Well, apparently, if he hits knuckles, he's a terrorist at this point.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, on Fox News he is anyway. Can you imagine? It's like, you know, my friend, I was laughing today because I heard this thing, because the kids call it a dap. You know what I mean? They don't call it a knuckle bump. They call it a dap.
Yeah, it's true, dap.
Yeah, you dap. You do a dap. So it's like, why? Well, first of all, why is it? You know, it's passe among the younger kids now. They've been doing it for so long. They're like, oh, it's old-fashioned. But it's like... It's like, how could that possibly be viewed as a terrorist? I was like, I started to laugh when I heard that until I cried. But you know what? Those Fox News girls and boys, boy, I tell you, the boys
don't want to be able to support somebody who I think is brilliant.
Oh, man, I am too. And you know what? I got to tell you, though, those Fox News guys, I don't know what the total IQ over there is, but it's got to be, you know, around two. Because those guys are so dumb. It's like you just watch them in the morning and go,
I think you find two groups. I think you find the people with an IQ of two and then the evil geniuses.
There really are
some evil geniuses over there.
There are some evil geniuses. It would not be Bill O'Reilly, but there are a couple of evil geniuses, like, say, I can't stand him. He's their anchor, their main anchor. Britt Hume. Ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Scary man. Okay. All right. Well, now that we've agreed on everything, thank you so much for calling. And I totally, totally think you're absolutely right. He can't be two things at once. And to heck with Reverend. I always want to call him a Reverend, but he's Dr. Dobson. And he has no religious training whatsoever. Boo hiss. Thank you for joining us. 5:30 it is on Mario's show. I am Aaron Hart filling in. I think I've been talking 90 miles an hour since the top of the show, so I think I'll just slow things down a little and talk to you and say, look, are you disappointed in Barack Obama in any way? If you're a Muslim, I want to hear from you. If you are a FISA opponent of this ridiculous, scot-free, give him a pass, give him immunity for the telecoms. I agree with you. I can't stand the Bush administration's terrorism policies, but then again, neither can you. I'm a little disappointed in Barack Obama, but would it make me vote for John McCain? Heck no! 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on Mario's show. The number once again, 303-713-7600. And now it's time for AM 760 Progressive Traffic with Scott Boylan. Hey, Scott. It's 5:34. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on Mario Solis Marich's show. Good afternoon. Here's the thing. It's 5:34. Make that 5:35. We'll set the table for you quickly here. We've been talking about the Second Amendment. I also want to talk about the ruling today by the Supreme Court, 5-4, an individual right to bear arms. I also want to talk about Dr. James Dobson went after Barack Obama pretty hard on his radio show. So I decided to use a platform on radio to go after Dr. Dobson, one of my pleasures in life, I will admit, because I think he's... ignorant and ill-considered and ill-informed and a bunch of other things, sort of like the guys on Fox News Network who Rick Ashton was reminding me back in the studio about a ham sandwich on Fox News where there was a fake story about somebody created a fake newscast about some kid left a ham sandwich on a Muslim's chair and Fox made a whole big deal about somebody, they had a ham sandwich awareness day and everything else. The story was totally fake. And the guys at Fox News Network, I swear to, I look at them sometimes in the morning, especially those lip glossy people who are like, hi, we're really stupid. How are you? And I think, oh, my gosh, how did they get jobs? 5:36. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Progressive Talk. And I would love to hear from you. 303-713-7600. Has Barack Obama, though, disappointed you in any way? He hasn't. I'm backing him. I'm supporting him. I'm not afraid to say so. Or ashamed to say so. And I did before I did Hillary Clinton, and I'll tell you why. Because I thought he was a better candidate. I really did. She gradually improved, I think. But they also, Bill Clinton in particular, annoyed me in South Carolina. Just so you're caught up with where I've been, that's where I've been. And if you can check out my website, AaronHartShow.com, you can follow where I've been. Aaron at AaronHartShow.com communicates with me during the show. And we have Kevin in Denver standing by. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm well.
That's good. Well, I heard you wanted a Muslim to call in. I'm Muslim, and, you know, so, you know, as far as Barack Obama is concerned, I really don't, you know a whole lot about him. I think all these politicians are the same. You know, they do a lot of talking, they make a lot of promises, and, you know, it's the same old, you know, usual. You know, I mean, they all have their own agenda, you know, and, you know, it's just a crapshoot, you know, so to speak. I don't think any of them really care about, you know, what's really happening to the common man, as you were speaking before. You know, the common sense individual out here is just, you know, trying to make it, you know.
I think a lot of that, I think a lot of that gets lost in the shuffle. I do think that Barack Obama and Michelle Obama perhaps are a little closer to it than perhaps the Clintons are. Although I agree with you, they have certainly been well educated at very fine schools where they earned their, you know, scholarships and everything else. But I guess I feel like I'm a little disappointed in him, well, in his handlers. I don't think it was him in particular. And he called up the women to apologize. Does that count with you, that he called up the women in headscarves I'm sorry,
I mean,
this was ridiculous?
To me at all, because I'm not surprised. I think many politicians nowadays would do that. Many people that aren't involved in politics at all, because, I mean, the media has put it out there like, you know, there's something wrong with Islam itself. Islam, the faith, there's nothing wrong with the faith itself. The faith itself is pure. You know, individuals, you know, they take an individual and they go off that and they blast it on TV and make it like it's Muslim majority, you know, and they do that very well. And I'm former military. I served my country 7.5 years honorably in the U.S. Navy. And, you know, I mean, so there's many of us out here that have become Muslim, you know, even in the face of this. And I'm not surprised by that, but for somebody who talks about change so much, that's something like that. It shows a lot of weakness on his part.
What could he do to soothe you, to mollify you, to appeal to you, Kevin? What would make you stand up and say, wow?
I mean, the thing is, you can't change the past, you know, unfortunately. But I guess what would make me feel comfortable, or what would have made me feel comfortable, if something like that wasn't even an issue, because I'm an American, once again, who served his country. Yes. You know, and there are many Muslim Americans that were born, raised here, white, black, you know, of different races, and, you know, that, you know, come from different countries, and, you know, all they want to do is work, take care of their families, and if you're too dense to see that, whoever you are, you know, I mean, you need to get a grip.
That is so sensible, and I do find a lot more sensible statements being made like that coming out of the Obama camp than, say, maybe the McCain camp. But I agree with you. I don't think we're tolerant. I think there is a lot of prejudice that surfaced, not only with 9/11. I think it goes back to before that with the taking of the hostages in Iran.
It's not prejudice. It's ignorance, you know?
It's ignorance. Ignorance.
People have radios, TVs, computers, you know, emails. There's no reason for people to be ignorant about Islam. At this point, you know, I talk to people who are educated, you know, have college degrees, and ask me about Islam. And I say, well, don't you have the internet? I love to talk about Islam, but I say, don't you have access to a computer? You know, you're 25 years old and you don't ask questions for yourself. No wonder, you know, I mean, come on.
No, absolutely. Also, and you know what? The Muslim faith is one of the fastest growing in America. So, and since we're a pluralistic nation and you know, not one nation under anybody's specific God, we better get used to accommodating other people's faith. I mean, what was the front page of the Denver Post today? It was about the rise of Wiccans and that more people believe in you know, what people used to say, what used to hang you for. You know, it's a witch, it's a witch. And, you know, guess what?
Yeah.
They're living among us, too. And guess what? They are coming to the fore with their own faith as well, and should be accommodated as well. And yet we read every day that your former military group, the Navy, now is under fire for discriminating against people who are not evangelical Christians, as has been the Air Force in its
that's
time.
Unfortunate. That's
I just read about it, and it was like, oh my goodness, how could this be? You know, it's like, stop it, cut it out. People of different faiths serve in the military, and that's the way I want it, because that's who's in my country.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a melting pot, you know?
Yeah.
Why people come here, because they believe that. They want to believe that, but the people that are born and raised here, you know, they have, you know, history here, they're forgetting this, you know, and I feel like we're slowly losing whatever freedom we so-called have, you know. I mean, it's starting to get more minimal and more minimal. because I've been halfway around this world, and I've seen other countries, and I've seen how people live. And we're duped into believing that we have this freedom that, you know, we really don't have. You know, it's really limited, and it's getting more limited.
Now,
you know,
but I'm a little worried about you say that you won't participate. Are you going to vote this year? Are you going to participate?
I was going to vote or not going to vote. I just generally think that it doesn't matter.
Okay,
I think
I got
that most of the politicians are puppets. I think the corporations generally run this country and the world at this time. And it's becoming more and more obvious. It's in our face. It's not a secret anymore. You know, the secret's out.
Thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate it, Kevin. Take care. I'm Erin Hart, filling in for Mario Solis Maric on his show. It's 5:42 in the afternoon on AM 760, Progressive Talk. I often fill in for Jay Marvin in the mornings, too, although I think Dr. Daddio's filling in for him tomorrow. It's 5:42. I'd love to talk to you. We can throw the phones wide open now. We can talk about whatever you'd like to. Neo-paganism is growing quickly. Does that mean if a witch sits behind Barack Obama, they'll make a move? I certainly hope not. 303-713-7600. It's Erin at erinhartshow.com. Communicate several ways. 303-713-7600. And now it's time for Progressive Traffic with Scott Boylan on AM 760. It's 5:46 in the Mile High City on Long the Front Range. I welcome you. I'm Erin Hart, Colorado, well, near native. And I'd love to talk to you. My whole family's native, four generations, actually. My parents happened to be in the military when I was born, so I wasn't technically born in the state. It's 5:46. I'm Erin Hart. Welcome, and thank you for joining us. It's 303-713-7600. It's Erin at erinhartshow.com. And I really must say hi to my roots. Hi, Nun, Colorado. Okay, I'm filling in for Mario today. Welcome. I'd love to talk to you. We can throw it wide open. We've got several topics on the table, including the Second Amendment, Dr. Dobson's assault on Barack Obama, Barack Obama, poverty, why we're voting for him, corporatism. I'm going to land on Ralph Nader like a cheap suit. Well, actually, like a well-made suit next hour as well. It's 5:47. I'm Erin Hart filling in for Mario. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you for joining us in Denver.
Hey, Erin, how's your day?
Pretty swell. I love working.
Good, good. It's interesting to listen to the callers. I was going to start off. That was a great segue without you knowing it, talking about Barack Obama and his fruitcake interpretation, and then having the rabbi talk about the fruitcake, Dobson.
I know. That was who was hilarious, wasn't he? He's aces. He could just talk all by himself, I think.
Yes.
He's fabulous.
And the last caller, I would just like to say to him, he really does need to get involved, if nothing else, because there is going to be three Supreme Court justices that are going to be appointed, and the Supreme Court has been just about as active as they could be this week, haven't they? Overturning the Exxon Valdez.
Yeah, talk about fruitcakes. And you know what? You're right. I don't know whether I laughed at that out loud, his segue like that. I should have. But you know what? I don't understand the Exxon Valdez. I know probably some legal scholar could explain it to me, and to a point I'd understand it. But every time I hear that story, my ears get hot. I think of those oil-soaked fishing boats and the livelihoods of people absolutely and completely destroyed.
The beaches are filled with oil.
They're still filled with oil up there, aren't they?
Along the beach and you turn over a rock, and what you find is oil under the rocks. They didn't clean up any of it. And so, you know, first we had Rehnquist, he was on medication and having hallucinations and split personality disorder.
He was the Supreme Court Chief Justice. Yeah.
And now we've got, you know, Scalia, who's, I don't know what his deal is, but.
Well, I actually am okay with today's decision, although not all of his ruling, perhaps. But I don't know why. Somebody called earlier and said, Erin, I think hell has frozen over because I finally agreed with Antonin Scalia. And I go, I know, I'm having the same reaction.
Yeah, today's decision was interesting, but some of the other stuff that they've done this week is
the death penalty out there.
I mean, talk about CYA for whoever the hell's giving them money. I can say that on the radio.
CYA is okay. I think if you said it spelled out, maybe we'd have to bleep you. But CYA,
right.
I think we all get it, and you know we all swear in real life. Let's face it. But anyway.
But if nothing else, that is a good reason to appoint, or not to appoint, but to go out and get involved, because this is going to affect the next 50 years, and the last 50 years, it looks like, without us knowing it, has been quite a ride.
Well, it's true, and this administration, I think, has decimated the Constitution. I think they've been absolutely unconscionable in terms of what they have done to assault it in terms of our rights, and I just find them reprehensible. And if anybody thinks the Supreme Court doesn't matter, just look at this latest slew of decisions. Sit down quietly and vote for Barack Obama, because otherwise they're going to take our Constitution back to the Stone Age, forget its original intention. And you know what? Personally, I really don't want to live in a constitution that can't be modernized. I really don't want to go back to 1776, because it would have meant that I could not vote, I could not own property, and that I could have been hung as a witch.
Yeah.
No thanks. Thank you very much. No thank you. You know, because they certainly picked people of all different kinds of religions to accuse them of all manners of things.
Yeah,
and if you
did.
Were the least bit different from the Puritans, they went after you. Or if you owned property, they went after you. So I guess as a property owner, I'd be under jeopardy, too, because that's one way they confiscated women's property, was to accuse them. You're a witch. Now can I have your land? Yay. So I find the whole thing extremely scary. Now, what do you think, though? Quickly, I will throw out. Actually, I have to go to a break, but Jeff. So I'll toss this question out for everyone else. Sorry, Jeff. But here's the thing: Barack Obama said that he agrees with the Supreme Court. He disagrees with the Supreme Court deciding that you can't kill a baby raper with the death penalty. I thought he opposed the death penalty, but apparently he's for it in extreme circumstances. I, for one, oppose the death penalty. You can try to Michael Dukakis me all you want. I'm more vengeful than Michael Dukakis ever thought about being. So I'd punish you by putting you in jail for the rest of your natural life, which personally I think is better than giving you a quick and easy death. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the Mario Solis Show. Coming up, we'll be talking to you right after we hear from Scott Boylan on AM 760 Progressive Traffic. Hi, this is Aaron Hart filling in for Mario this Thursday afternoon. It's 303-713-7600. It's Aaron at AaronHartShow.com. Love to get your emails. Love to hear from you. This is where you come to express yourself. I don't care if you agree or disagree with me. I want to hear from you. John in Aurora, welcome to AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, Aaron, how are you?
I'm swell. How are you?
I'm excellent. I just got off of work.
Cool.
I am a tree-hugging, goddess-worshipping, neo-pagan, former military, National Guardsman, used to be a Republican. I'm going to vote for Obama.
Are you Jesse Walter? No, you're not. He was quoted in the, he sounds like you, the guy quoted in the story. Go ahead, John.
Oh, I'm not Jesse Walter.
I'm just teasing you. Go ahead.
And, you know, the whole thing, you guys were talking about James Dobson earlier. And I can't agree with you more. You know what? I've had so many comments about so many things that you guys talked about, and you talked about, like, what, five or six different things. It's amazing.
Rabbi Wiener is always a great guest because he's so well-informed and wonderful. He's passionate about all kinds of things, but, you know, it's really, go ahead. Take your shot at him.
You're talking, well, actually, the thing that made me call was, you were talking about the evangelical influences in the military.
Yes.
Now, when I was on active duty from 1992 to 2001.
Yeah.
And when I was active duty, the military was a good place to be a pagan because people were pretty tolerant of everybody, because you have so many different kinds of people in the military that you can't help but run into somebody that's different than you, and people just get used to it.
Gotcha.
And I think, because I've heard stories from guys that I know that are still in the active duty army, and everything's changed so much because of the administration, the current administration, and the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and it's drawn a lot of neoconservative recruits into the military because they want to go, you know, paint their chest red, you know, and kill Muslims and whatever. But it just amazes me how much it's changed.
But is it coming? does it coming more from the top up, or is it coming from the top down? Because what I've been reading is that there's a disturbing amount of inculcation and you know, propagandizing coming down from the brass.
You know what? I've read a lot about that from the Air Force Academy when that whole thing with the Air Force Academy was going on.
Yeah, I just read about it in the Naval Academy and somewhere.
I think that has a lot to do with, as far as the Air Force Academy, the proximity of the Air Force Academy to, say, Focus on the Family.
To Colorado Springs.
Some large evangelical groups out of Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the Naval Academy is being influenced by, but as far as the top, coming from the top, I don't know that it's all coming from the top. I think some of it's coming from the bottom.
Okay. So what would you do about it? What would you recommend as a neo-pagan, as you describe yourself? What would you recommend, John?
What would I recommend as a solution?
Yes.
We need to change at the top, which is why I'm voting differently than I did last time.
For your different commander-in-chief, you're going to vote for Barack Obama instead of John McCain?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good man.
You know,
Hooray.
I didn't have a problem with John McCain until I started reading about him. And some of the stuff that he just keeps changing his mind on so many different things. I have this picture that, you know, he's going to get in. And one of the things that bothers me so much about what we've been doing as far as our military action is concerned, we're in the 80s and the 90s tortured people. Sure, you know, realistically,
we got about 20 seconds.
It's going to happen sometimes, but we never bragged about it, and we never tried to rationalize it and convince everybody in the world that it was okay.
Yeah, we never made it a right and a sort of our right to go ahead and do whatever we want, trample on anybody's human rights. Thank you so much for your time and your help and understanding our world today. Chris in Denver, please hang in because I know you disagree with me on the death penalty. I would love to hear from you. It's open phone on The Mario Show, 303-713-7600 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in.